Welcome back. We're so glad you're listening and engaging with us. This series is titled Exponential. So hold on to your hats because this series is the vision series of 2024. God gave us a prophetic word of exponential growth, not just for the church, but for all of us. So be encouraged and listen in.
We're going to jump into the word. I'm going to speak to you today. The title is You Hear His Voice. You hear His voice. You hear His voice. The question is, are you listening? The question is, are you listening? So you hear His voice. Can you hear me now? Can you hear me now? Now that was a pretty big ad campaign by Verizon. And the fellow left Verizon and he went to Sprint because apparently they weren't hearing good enough, but or that was such a good ad campaign. They made so much with it. Verizon, millions and millions, literally billions of dollars, they believe they made through that ad campaign. Can you hear me now? And, you know, they were saying, look, we've got so much area. No matter where you go, you can be connected. Amen. Well, the thing about God is you can hear His voice. You can hear His voice. Turn to your neighbor, take your index finger, put it in their nose. I mean, towards them, not in their nose, but say, you can hear His voice. You really can. It's not you will or maybe or sometimes, but He is speaking. I love, there's a verse in the Old Testament that says, He will make His glorious voice to be heard. Isn't that great? It's His responsibility to speak, and He's speaking. It's His responsibility to communicate, and He's communicating. He is a good Father, and He's speaking to you, and He's caring for you, and He's ministering to you every day. Can you hear His voice? We've been talking about Hannah and dealing with 1 Samuel chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, through there. And this was a time where the voice of God was rare. People just weren't hearing His voice. And there wasn't much prophetic, there wasn't much expression of His voice. And it was rare, you know, to hear the voice of God. So God will not have that. God will take it in His own hands. God wants to communicate with His people. He wants to speak to His people. And in the old covenant, when they got out of Egypt, God started speaking to them. He says, hey there. And they all got freaked out and they said, Moses, go talk to God and tell Him that was kind of creepy and have a man represent Him. And that God didn't want that, but man asked for that. Man is the one who said, give us commandments, give us some stuff, give us some other stuff. Don't hang around with us every day and speak to us. That was a bit creepy. I think it's awesome. But you see, they wanted that, so God had to speak through prophets, and He had to speak through different people. And so if you wanted to hear from God, you had to find a man of God or a woman of God, and He spoke through them to the people. But that was never God's plan. God wanted every single person to be a prophet. God wanted to personally, face-to-face, walk intimately with every single individual. That's what He wanted. So here was a time where, you know, God's voice wasn't heard. It was kind of rare, but God wanted to be heard. So there was Hannah, and Hannah wasn't bringing forth children, and she wanted to have children. And Peninnah came and annoyed the stuffing out of her, and she cried out, I want kids. Hannah is grace, and grace, supernaturally, there was a supernatural call on Hannah's life. And God wanted her to engage in a supernatural call, a supernatural intercession that would bring forth a generation that would not just hear His voice, but would declare His voice with power and authority and would bring in and usher in a new generation and a new kingdom reality. So that's what happened. So that's why we're talking about Hannah, because we believe today God's raising up a community right now that's going to be a community that can declare the voice of God and speak it with power and with authority. Thank you, Glenn, very, very much. Glenn saw me choking on my own tongue right there. Said he's going to die if I don't get him a drink. You know? Pastor died while preaching, swallowed his own tongue. Video at 9, you know. Hannah gave birth to a new generation, and Samuel is the Lord hears and answers. And he was aligning the people of God with the voice of God so that God could bring in a revelation of kingdom life. 1 Samuel 3:1, the boy Samuel ministered before the Lord, before Eli, and the word of the Lord was rare in those days, and there was no widespread revelation. 1 Samuel 3:19, and Samuel grew, and the Lord was with him, and did not let none, there's a lot of knots in there. And I threw an extra knot in there. And did let none of his words, that's just so awkward, isn't it? And did let none of his words fall to the ground. So literally when Samuel spoke, When Samuel spoke, the Lord watched over Samuel's word. That means God honored whatever came out of Samuel's mouth. Doesn't that sound a bit intense? Doesn't that sound like, wow? And you see, in Jeremiah 15, verse 1, God's really upset with his people. And he says, man, I'm so annoyed with these people. And he says, even if Moses and Samuel were to stand before me now, I wouldn't change my mind about how I feel. And the reason he used their words was because Moses got God to repent. God said, Moses, out of the way, I'm going to wipe these folks out and start again with you. And Moses said, chill out, big fella. That wouldn't be good. I mean, what are people going to say? Hey, you brought them into the wilderness to kill them? That's not good. So it says the Lord repented. He changed his mind. And so here we see that Samuel and Moses had an incredible influence on God. Imagine that God is looking for a people that he doesn't just want to have as subjects, but he wants people that will partner with him. People that will creatively operate in the earth, in the sphere of this world, and will partner with him to bring the revelation of heaven to earth. See, the will of God isn't to get you to heaven. The will of God is to bring you into a relationship with your Heavenly Father, where you are a steward of heavenly things, where you are now partnering with him to bring heaven on earth and manifest all the good things. It is God's will that we prosper today and bring his glory into manifestation everywhere we go. Hello. It's not God's will that we be this little group in the corner, despised, and go, God, quick, get us out of here. It's getting ugly down here. If it's getting ugly down here, it's up to us to speak the ugliness and let the kindness, the goodness, and the beauty of God come into manifestation. So when God wants to change something, he gets a hold of somebody's voice. When God wants to change the world, he gets a hold of somebody's voice. And your mouth is your address in the spirit realm. And when you speak the word of God and honor the word of God, like Samuel, God will watch over that word to perform it. So we are here. God needs you. I mean, you think you need God, but you know what? God needs you. God has created everything and he has limited himself to operate in the earth through mankind. He's looking for a redeemed community because the only way he can exercise his purposes in the earth is to find a community of believers who understand who they are and speak with authority to the affairs of earth. And that's who we are. That's what God's called us to be. We're not like, hey folks, you want to go to heaven or you want to go to hell? Well, heaven, of course. Well, get on the bus with us. We're just going to suffer until he gets us out of here. We're not here just for that. Sure, you know, one of the benefits is we're going to spend eternity with the Almighty. But the reason God has grabbed you now is because he told us to pray. He said, pray this. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth. On earth as it is in heaven. So our mission is to partner with God to bring about his purpose today. And his purpose today is peace on earth, goodwill to men, his glory flooding, filling, and saturating the earth. And that's up to us. How are you doing with that? How are you doing stewarding the eternal purpose of God every moment of your life? How are you doing? If you're going to do that, then you need to be clear on hearing the voice of God. Can I get an amen on that? You cannot serve God, partner with God, operate in his purposes, manifest and represent him if you don't hear his voice. So it's paramount that you hear his voice. Last week I showed you the policeman. I was watching a TV show and they were interviewing the policeman. I said, what's your most important tool for doing your job? And I went, wow, what is the most important tool? And he said, my radio. And I went, your radio? You know, not you know, tune into, you know, rock station, but literally the radio to headquarters, where if something's going down, he can speak directly to them. And there's a direct link between him and all the power and authority to get stuff changed and dealt with and fixed. And he said, if I can't communicate with head office, I'm in trouble. So this is the most important thing I have right here, is my radio. And you know what? As a believer, the most important thing you have is your capacity to interact with the heavenly realm, your capacity to operate out of and to hear the Father's voice. That's the most important thing that you have, is your capacity to hear. Amen. John 10:27 says, my sheep hear. Say, my sheep hear. My sheep hear. My sheep hear my voice. I know them. Does he know you? Not do you know him, but does he know you? Is Jesus able to say, I know Carl. I've had intimate fellowship with Carl. I know Carl in a big way. Carl and I are right on. We're there. It's not in the last day when you stand before him. He doesn't say, did you know me? He says, depart from me. I never knew you. It's not about you knowing him. It's not about you doing history lessons about that guy trying to figure him out. It's did you let him come in? Did you let him invade your life? Did you let the fullness of God take up residence in you? Is God himself dwelling in you, knowing you, filling you in every aspect of your life? My sheep hear my voice. I know them. They follow me. So sheep, the sheep hear his voice. Any sheep here today? I'm telling you, you don't have to try. It's true. Sheep hear his voice. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2, God in the old covenant at various times in various ways in the past, he spoke to the fathers. He spoke to the prophets. He spoke through people to us. There were individuals that he would speak to and they would speak to us. But he says, now in these last days, he has spoken. Say spoken. He has spoken. There's a word that he has spoken, and it's Jesus. If you want to know who God is, you want to know about God, you want to know what's his character, what's his nature. I mean, how does he manifest? How does he deal with the issues of life? How does he feel about this and that and the other thing? It's right there in 1 Thomas 1:1, how he feels about this, that, and the other thing. If you want to know, you talk to Jesus, because Jesus is absolutely God. Jesus is pure theology. Jesus is the living word and the revelation of God. So God has spoken absolutely and clearly through his son. John 8:47, whoever is of God listens to God. Whoever is of God listens to God. Those who belong to God hear the words of God. Does anybody belong to God? Says those who belong to God, they listen, they pay attention. John 16:13-14, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. He will tell you things to come. He, a personal pronoun. The Holy Spirit isn't some ooey-gooey feeling that floods the sanctuary. Every once in a blue moon, we feel, I felt the Spirit. Every moment of my life, I feel the Spirit. The Spirit has taken up residence in me. The Spirit is here, and the Spirit has come to guide me into all truth. He speaks to me, and he tells me things to come. He will glorify me, for he will take what is of mine, and he will declare it to you. So the Holy Spirit, the third person of the Godhead, the person, I'm in a personal relationship with God, and the Holy Spirit is the most intimate connection I have to the Godhead. The Holy Spirit has taken up residence in my life, and he is here manifesting the purpose of God. 1 Corinthians 1:4-5, I am always thanking my God for you because he has given you such free and open access to his grace through your union with Jesus the Messiah. Amen. I thank God he's given me free and open access to the Messiah. He has graced me. He has favored me. It's not me working. I didn't qualify myself. He qualified me. He has graced me to step into not a closeness with God, but a oneness with God. I can never get closer to God than I am right now. I don't have a come and go relationship. Well, some days I feel close. Well, that's wonderful that you feel close, but here's the fact. You are closer than you could ever get. There is no separation between you and God. You are one with God. You are in absolute union with the Godhead forever and ever by the grace of God. Man, I thank God and it's grace. I have access and union. It says, in him you've been made extravagantly rich in every way. Don't you love these things? Don't you love it? He didn't just make things good for you. He made you extravagantly rich. Hey! In every way, there's not a single area of my life that God's wisdom, knowledge, power, and glory doesn't penetrate and make me just a walking, breathing blessing of God. Man, it's awesome to be me. I am an object of his deep love and deep devotion. And you know what I say to it? I receive it in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. I align every thought, every action. I align everything in me with the revelation that God is for me. God is for me. Hallelujah. A wealth of inspired utterance. What am I endowed with? I am endowed with a wealth of inspired utterance. I am endowed with the ability and the creative, wonderful spiritual words which I can speak. So God wants to touch your mouth. God wants to give you wisdom. He wants to pour in you revelation. He wants to give you utterance where you wake up every day and you speak the glory of God over your life. The Word of God says you have what you say. Well, I'm having one of my migraines today. Well, stop having one of your migraines. It's not your migraine. You didn't belong to it. It doesn't belong to you. Jesus died on the cross 2,000 years ago. He broke that power off your life. You're a child of God. Speak to the migraine and say, you have no right, you have no legacy, you have no place in my life. I do not have a future that involves migraines. My future is the blessing of God. And I have an inspired utterance to speak to you right now. In the name of Jesus, depart from my life. Hey, are you saying I got to take responsibility for my health? Yes. Jesus, inspired utterance and the riches that come from your intimate knowledge of Him. See, it says my people perish for lack of knowledge. The one thing we should never lack is knowledge. And the beautiful thing about the Holy Spirit is when He comes in, He will lead you into all truth. He will teach you. And He's not looking for reasons to disqualify you. In James, it says, if you need wisdom, just ask, and He'll give it to you without finding fault. He's not a fault-finding God. He's not saying, you know, I could help you right now. I could change your whole situation with a little drop of heavenly wisdom, but you're a rotten dog. And so I got reasons to withhold from you. That's rubbish. If you've heard that, say, man, that's rubbish. Because the Bible says, I will give you wisdom when you ask for it, and I'm not a fault-finding God. I'm not looking for reasons not to bless you. If anybody tells you, jump through 10 hoops and you can be like me, well, I've been looking at you and I'm not so sure. Here's God. I love you to death. You didn't pursue me. I've been pursuing you. And I'm ready to just drop a boatload of my goodness and grace on you every day. You know, it's when we believe that we don't deserve it, that's rubbish. Change your mind right now. That's repentance. Change your mind and say, I believe God's ready to bless me. I believe I've been given angels hernias because they're hanging on the blessings that I won't receive. There's a truckload of angels following me going, we're trying to bless him. He just doesn't agree. Say, I agree that God is nuts about me. Hey. All right, I got stuff to do. Can you say stuff to do? All right, we're going to go through this. You can look at it later. The notes are online. I'm going to teach you really fast. How many like a fast teaching? All right, there's four basic forms of revelation. Revelation. There's general revelation. In Romans 1, it says, nature itself reveals there's God. Look at the order of creation. Look in the mirror and look at you. That's a miracle right there. Amen. I do it every day. Go, you're a miracle. My God. Look at you. Hey, general nature manifests. There is order. There's structure. There's a God. There's something behind this. There's something behind this. This didn't just go, oh. I went into the woods, put a whole bunch of dynamite in the woods, blew the sucker up, walked back in, and there was a log cabin with flush toilets. I went and blew the woods up, came back, and it was full of log cabins and structure and beautiful things. It's somebody with deep, deep care and insight created everything and created you. And He loves you, and nature declares the glory of God. Specific revelation, Jesus. We read it already. Jesus is absolutely God. If you want to know about God, Jesus. If you see something in the Bible that don't look like Jesus, Jesus. See Jesus on every page. Biblical revelation, the Holy Spirit illuminates the Word of God and brings life, and the Word is alive. Direct revelation, you can get spoken to by the Holy Ghost. Amen. Who's had the Holy Ghost speak to you? Anybody had the Holy Ghost speak to you? Holy Spirit, Spirit of God. You know, I was just driving down the road one day and I thought, I should call Bob. I don't know why, but I should call Bob. You know, I do that sometimes with Madeline. We'll sit down and we'll go over the address list and we'll just go and we'll just look randomly through the list. And there's times a name will pop up and I gotta call that person right now. We call people. You know, I called Matt one day and I had no idea what was going on in Matt's life, but I called him and spent some time and I prayed with him and I saw him again on Sunday. He goes, man, thank God that you prayed, even at the moment you did. And when you called me, man, that was a God thing. You know, a very, very simple thing going down an address list. I should call Matt. You know what that was? The voice of God. It's not complicated stuff. All right. In these last days, he's spoken through his son. His son is the express image of who he is. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are the children of God. God's spirit touches our spirit, confirms who we really are. We know who he is and we know who we are. We are, he's my father, I'm his children. When he, the spirit of truth, comes, he will guide you into all truth. He'll tell you things to come. He will glorify me. Catherine Kuhlman said, Christians today operate very little in the Holy Spirit because of their ignorance concerning the Holy Spirit himself. Sad thing is, there's a lot of churches today that we don't need the Holy Spirit. Now we have the Bible. We don't need those extra biblical manifestations. We just need the Bible. So, and Catherine Kuhlman said, that's a problem, is people don't have. You should know the Holy Spirit better than you know your best friend. The Holy Spirit should be your best friend. You should understand him, understand his voice. You should know when there's an urgency on his voice. You should know with clarity who he is. Acts 10:19, Peter thought about the vision, and then the Spirit said to him in quotations, behold, three men are seeking you. There was a voice. The Spirit spoke to him. Matthew, when he answered, he said to him, it's written, man shall not live by bread alone. How shall I live then? You shall live by what proceeds, not what came out of the mouth of God, not what is written in the scripture, but you are to live every day by the proceeding voice of God. What is God saying to you right now, right now, right now? Luke 8:18. So pay attention to how you hear. To those who listen to my teaching, more understanding will be given. But to those who are not listening, even what they have or what they think they understand will be taken away from them. Well, that sounds awful. Well, the Lord's not going to take away the word. But you see, the parable of the sowers, the seed is sown. God sows seed. He sows it liberally. But you see, if the ground is not plowed open, if the ground isn't open up, it says the birds of the air quickly come and they take the word from you. If you don't listen, if you don't take the word in your heart, if you don't ponder it and meditate on it and gain understanding of it, it'll be stolen from you. So be careful how you listen. Mark 4:25. And he said to them, be careful what you're hearing. The measure of thought and study you give to that truth you hear will be the measure of virtue and knowledge that comes back to you, and more besides. It'll be given to the one who hears. So you are literally living right now. The quality of life you are living right now is totally dependent on your quality of hearing. You're a child of God, but the quality of your life as a child of God is directly related to your ability to hear. Hearing the voice of God is innate. That means it's in your DNA. You can hear his voice. It's learned. You can learn to get better at it. You see, babies can hear, but at first they talk back. They hear you go, hello, beautiful. And they go, see, you can hear me, but you need to begin to articulate what you're hearing. You need to develop the language of interaction with the Holy Spirit. It's matured. You gain revelation knowledge. You begin to, I didn't know that was mine. I receive it now. I confess it. Glory to God. It's attacked. Mark chapter 4, Satan comes immediately and takes away the word. The word's going to be attacked in your life. If you don't let it sink deep in your heart, the enemy is going to try to steal it from you through circumstances, difficulties, lies, all kinds of things. But not me, because I'm a careful listener, and I press the word deep into my heart. It's a lifestyle. Proverbs 3:6 says, listen for God's voice in everything you do and everywhere you go. He's the one who will keep you on track. 7 basic leadings of the Spirit. I got 1 minute to finish it. 1 minute. 7 leadings of the Holy Spirit. An inward witness. That witness, the Spirit testifies with my spirit, witnesses with me. There's an inward voice. Romans, it says the voice of the Spirit spoke to me. There's the Spirit's voice itself as he spoke to Peter. There's knowings. Luke, here's Luke. Luke said, I'm going to write a gospel. You know why? It seems like the right thing to do. He wrote a gospel, and here's the clarity that he had to do it. Seems like a good idea. Go ahead, read Luke chapter 1, 1 to 4, and you'll find out why did he write his book. Because he said, you know what? I've got some understanding of this. I should write a book. You know what that was? That was the word of God to him. It was just a knowing. And you know, so often I do things just because, why are you doing that, Pastor? Because I know that's the word of God to me. I know it. There's visions and dreams. There's the word of God, the word. He sent his word and he healed me. We live by his word. And there's the prophetic. We can hear a prophetic voice. Acts 13:1-3, it says, now separate to me Saul and Barnabas. So then they fasted and prayed. Then they laid their hands on them. Then they sent them away. 3 parts to an encounter. 3 parts to when you hear a word. There's 3 parts to when you hear a word. You ready? Here's how you handle revelation. And you know, I don't need anybody to help me with revelation. That's good. God bless you. It says we prophesy in part, we know in part. You know, it's a good thing to submit and be in a relationship where I trust people and I deal with what they're speaking. So somebody stood up and prophesied, let's send Saul and Barnabas. So what did they do? They stepped back, they fasted, and they prayed about it. They sought the Lord about it. Then together they came to total consensus and they said, this is the word of the Lord. They laid their hands on and they sent them. So what you have there is here is a fully actualized revelation. Revelation, interpretation, application. See, as the prophet Agabus came to Paul and he bound up his hands and said, when you get to Jerusalem, they're going to put you in bondage. And then all of them pleaded with him, don't go. And he said, you know what? The word is right. Your revelation is right. I will be in bondage when I get to Jerusalem. But that is the mind of God for me. And together they're like, wow. See, the prophet thought he had the word and it was the word, but he was bringing the wrong application to the word, but submitted to the group as they talked about it. He got revelation, they got understanding, and Paul said, this is the right word. You do have the right word, you just have the wrong application, because it's through these chains I'm actually going to get to Rome. So these chains, although awkward, it's going to fulfill the purpose of God to get me to my destination. And you see, you need that corporate body and that revelation when you're handling those things. So really quick, because I'm done. So you're done, Pastor. Oh, that was a bit over the top over there, you know. Wow. Okay. Here's some advice, real simple advice. Ready? Take time to pray. Take time to pray. How many take time to pray? Like on purpose. You got a time where you pray. I mean, pray without ceasing. Stay in fellowship with God all the time. But please take a time. Set apart a time. Literally a window in your life. And it's good if you could say, find a time in the rhythm of your day where you can take time. And you can set it apart to listen and just be quiet in front of God. Take time, all right? Find a place. Take time, find a place. It's good to find a place. In Matthew it says, but you, when you pray, go into your room. And when you've shut the door, pray to your Father who is in the secret place. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. All right, so you go and you pray and you find a place. And you know what? What is happening openly in your life is a direct manifestation of your secret place. The quality of your secret place is being manifest openly in your public life. Because you see, when you pray and you engage him in the secret place, he rewards you openly. So what's happening openly is a direct relationship to the heavenly realm. One more verse. Come on, stand up with me. Stand up with me. I'm going to pray for you. Stand up, slowly rise, quietly and slowly. You ready? 1 Corinthians 2:12. And we have received God's Spirit. Not the world's Spirit. We have received God's Spirit. Why? So we can know the wonderful things God has freely given us. You've been...